Isaiah chapter 46. So we're going to have a couple introductory lessons. And the first one here is Isaiah chapter 46. And we're going to begin at verse 9 and read down through verse 11. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 9. It says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." So when we are looking at His attributes, we need to understand that there's no other person like the Lord. There's nobody like Him. He is unique. And you'll see a lot of people who have a lot of different qualities that are like the Lord's qualities. You'll find somebody who I gave you the example of long-suffering. You'll find a wife or children or husbands. You'll find parents who are long-suffering toward their spouses, toward their children. You'll find employers and employees who are long-suffering towards one another. But none of them are perfect. When God says in this verse of Isaiah 46 and verse 9, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me." There is no one like Him. He is perfect in every one of these attributes. You might have someone that you know who possesses some of these qualities, and you'll say, well, they're very good at this, but they're not perfect, are they? But the Lord is perfect. The next verse, verse 10, it tells us, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it." So there's one God, and we call Him Lord. The Jews of old called Him Jehovah. And contrary to what many people are saying, Allah and Jehovah are not the same. There are two different beings. In fact, only one of them is a being. All of the gods that man has made are fictitious. They're conjurers of their own evil and wicked imaginations. They simply do not exist. Amen. You think about all the Norse gods and the Roman gods and the Greek gods, and they're all the same. They just gave them different names. They don't exist. Amen. There is one God, and His name is Jehovah or Lord. I am God, and there is none else. God looks to His right, and there's nothing there. And He looks to His left, and there's nothing there. He alone stands or sits supreme. It's not that He is the supreme God, and there's lesser gods. It's not like, you know, with Zeus and Thor and so on and so forth. There's just the Lord. That's all there is. There's nobody else. And we're told in the Scriptures that the greatest need that you have is to not just know Him, but to know Him as your Savior and Lord. There's a lot of people who know these attributes, but they don't know God in a personal relationship as their Savior. And that is by faith, repentance toward God, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Bible is our source of everything about the Lord. He has revealed to us about Himself. And He has revealed to us in the Scriptures attributes that He has. Some will they'll want to debate with us and say, well, that's not an attribute, that's His essence. Well, for the purpose of our study, His essence and His attributes are going to be the same thing. We're not going to distinguish between them because it's the same person. Now, first of all, I want you to know what we mean by attributes. What do we mean when we use the word attribute or attributes, plural? Well, one writer, he said this, he says, an attribute is that which is considered as belonging to or inherent in. As power and wisdom are attributes of the Supreme Being. An attribute is a quality, a thing belonging to another. So, everybody has attributes. You have attributes, your children, your parents, your brothers, your sister, your the people you're sitting next to have attributes. They have qualities that belong to them. That doesn't mean that they don't belong to other people. There are other people who possess similar or the very same things that you have and that other people have, but nobody possesses these that God has. He alone possesses them. Because as Isaiah 46 and verse 9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. There's nobody who can be compared to Him.
Amen.
Now, we as children of God, when we've been saved, and God continues to work on us, and He's fashioned us like unto Jesus Christ, we might become more long-suffering, and we should be more long-suffering today than we were the day God saved us. Amen. And if the Lord sees fit to not return to bring home His people for another 20 years, then I ought to be more long-suffering in 20 years than I am today. Because He is continuously fashioning us like unto the glorious image of Jesus Christ. But we're not going to be perfected in this life, are we? Another thing we should know about attributes, the attributes of God are those things which alone belong to God. There are things that God possesses that no one else has. And then, He has all of them completely in Him. There's no other being with all of them completely in them. Perfected in Him. The attributes of God are the essence or the reality of the being of God. Without these attributes, He would not be God.
Amen.
These attributes do not conflict with one another. They are harmonious. There are some that will look at God and say, well, how can God do this, or how can He be this and be this at the same time? He's the Lord. He is. He has this perfect attribute and this perfect attribute, and though they may seem to clash in the world, they do not clash in the Lord. The world, an evil man cannot imagine a being such as the Lord. That's why they conjured up what they did. That's why they got a God who's the God of this subject, and the God of this subject, and the God of this subject, and one of this, and that, and the other. Because our finite minds cannot comprehend that the perfection of God is complete in His being. Here's some synonyms. Synonyms are words that can be substituted. These help us understand. So some synonyms for the word attribute is trait. I'm sure you've heard someone talk about character traits. Maybe you're reading a story and you have to write down some character traits or some things about a character in the book. That's what these are, attributes are. Some characteristics. A description. We would ask somebody when a crime was committed, we would go to the scene of the crime and we'd ask them, say, well, did you see the suspect? And they'd say, yeah. I'd say, well, describe the individual to us. And they would begin to tell us things about them. Well, that's attributes, are characteristics of an individual. And a characteristic is something. It's not just something about them. It's distinguishing. And these distinguish God from all other beings. Another synonym is a quality. You know, it's not just something. It's actually, you know, we talk about different things and quality versus quantity. You'll hear that phrase a lot. Well, an attribute of God, these are qualities. They're worth having. Some people have a lot of quantity of stuff, but it's not very good quality. Another synonym is property. An individual stated, an attribute is the property of the Lord. It is His possession. He has the right to use that which He possesses as He sees fit. So all these attributes that we're going to know, I believe 15 of them. These attributes, God, He possesses them, they're His property, and He can dispense them and use them and exercise them as He sees fit. He is under no obligation to exercise them as you and I think He should. Because they're His attributes. The Bible says in Matthew 20 and verse 15, Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? He can do whatever he wants with his attributes. He can exercise his long suffering today. He can exercise it tomorrow. And then one day he can cease exercising his long suffering. The Bible tells us one day he shall. Now, let's turn over to Job 22, and this is our memory verse. We want to encourage you to be working on it. Job 22 and verse 21. The need to know the attributes of God. God's people need to know these things. These attributes are absolute. They're not, well, don't you think, kind of things. You know, there are absolutes in the world, aren't there? Doesn't matter where you go, 2 + 2 is going to be 4, isn't it? Had a teacher, and he said, this is a phrase, and I only heard him say it once, but it sure did stick with me, a pound is a pound the world around. No matter where you go, a pound is going to be a pound, isn't it? It's not like money where it's worth more one day or less the next day. A measure of weight is the same, isn't it, all over the world. And you talk with people and you express to them this being of God and His attributes, and they look at you like you'd look at a screen door on a submarine. People don't understand the being of God. This is why it's so important for us to know the God of the Bible, the God of the Scriptures, because this is who we have to do with. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, this is who we have to do with. In Job 22, verse 21, it says, and this is a command, acquaint now thyself with Him. Acquaint yourself with God. Be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. Most people's thoughts of God are too human. They're too human. Scriptures tell us in Psalm 50 and verse 21, Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. How often do you hear people, and maybe you've thought yourself about the Lord as well, and we minimize the Lord.
Right.
Israel did that. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They thought He was like them. They took His power and they brought it down. They took His knowledge and they brought it down. They made it like unto us. We must not think that God is like us, because He is not. Look over in 1 Chronicles. There in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles, chapter 28. You can't know God apart from His attributes. And so as we've been studying here in the adult Sunday school class for some time, that we have to know the Lord. We have to examine Him. This is what this broader study is. It's an examination of the Lord. I mean, this isn't just so we can check some boxes that say, well, I heard messages on the attributes of God. This is practical studying that we can then take and apply this into our daily lives. The Bible says that Sarah examined the Lord. She viewed Him and decided that He was faithful, and she received strength. And in 1 Chronicles 28, if you notice here in verse 9, David speaking to Solomon, as he's taking over, David's going off the scene, Solomon's coming to be the king, and he's got a great mighty task to build the temple, doesn't he? But not just to build the temple, to be the king of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. And you and I have a great and mighty task as well, don't we? To preach the gospel to every creature, to baptize them, and then to teach them to observe all things whatsoever God's commanded us. That is a tremendous task, isn't it? So we need to know the Lord so we can do this. And we ought not to say, well, I know God's attributes, and rattle them all off like it's, you know, stats on the back of a baseball card. Or with my boys, Pokemon cards. Or whatever it is you used to be into. In 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, David says, "And now, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father." Know Him. Do you know Him? You need to know Him as your personal Savior. But then after God has saved you, you need to know Him in a greater and deeper way. And these attributes reveal Him and His being unto us. In verse 9, David continues and says, "Know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him." Well, we can't serve Him if we don't know Him, can we? And as David continued, "Serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." Well, that even raises the bar even more, doesn't it? It's not just showing up to church Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's serving Him, what's He say? With a perfect heart and with a willing mind. That means all the things that involve serving the Lord have to be done with a willing mind. It means you're willing to do it. Just like we're willing to do a whole bunch of things, aren't we? Well, we need to be willing to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, become a member of His church after He saved us, and serve Him in and through His church in every aspect that the Bible says. We need to know thou the God of thy father and serve Him. How? Oh, when it's convenient. No, that's not what David told Solomon, is it? To serve Him, you know, most of the year. No. Every single day. There's no days off in the service of God. He says, "For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever." Boy, what a tremendous thing. And again, the next verse 10, "Take heed now, For the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Well, God has chosen you that are members of the Bible Baptist Church. He has chosen you to build this house. You know how we build this house? We make other disciples. That's the building blocks, isn't it? You know how you make other disciples? You preach the gospel to them. And the Lord saves, and they're added unto the Lord's church. And then you know what you do after that? You teach them. That's how this house is built. And God says, be strong and do it. Well, you know how we become strong? Remember what the wonderful servant of the Lord said? He says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Oh, you know how you become that? You compare yourself to the Lord and see how great and powerful and mighty He is. No, we're commanded to know the God of the Bible. One individual said this, said, we are at a point in Christianity where people don't care if you can back it up with the Bible. Their feelings, their desires, and their emotions override what Scriptures say. Amen. They don't follow Christ. Amen. They follow self. Amen. And I hope that doesn't ever creep into this church. Because that'll be a death blow. We need to know Him. If folks are going to be saved, they're going to have a knowledge that God is able to save. And the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. And the writer went on to say, for him that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So they have to believe that God is. Not just that He exists, but that He is able to do what He says He said, to do what He said He will do. If you're going to come to God, if you're going to come to Jesus Christ, then you need to know that He's able to save you. And He certainly is. And if you're going to serve Him, then you're going to have to do so by trusting Him. And the more we know about the Lord, the more that we'll trust Him. I want you to think about this for a minute. You ever drive across a bridge? I'm sure you have. You know why you drive across that bridge without worrying about falling in or it caving in? It's because you've seen it. You know a little bit about concrete all your life. Those of us who are here, we've probably been driven over that bridge multiple times. We've seen other cars drive over that bridge. And what that is that it's evidence that has surmounted to the veracity or the truth that this bridge is going to hold me while I drive across it. Well, God's attributes are all of those things that you see about Him, whereby you know that He is sufficient to save and to enable you to serve Him in this life. So they're so important. I knew a pastor, I don't know him well, but I knew one, he keeps boxes of A.W. Pink's, the attributes of God. And whenever he meets somebody in a crisis or whenever they're having drama in their life, he goes, you need to read this book. You need to become more acquainted with the God who is described in this book. Because if you know the God of the Scriptures, if you know Jesus Christ, if you know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you become more acquainted with them, and you begin to know their attributes, you'll be at peace. Oh, there's no peace in this world. But there's great peace in the Lord. So may God help us in our study. And so you go over